when they don't get their way. Are you excited about that? Or what about teaching children how to always want to be first? Some of you are like, eh. I don't think you'd be so excited about being here. But why? Why? I think it's because our children, and I think you'd say this as well, our children already know how to do all of those things. And as a matter of fact, that selfish type of behavior comes automatically for our children, because they're born with that desire to want their own way. But how to love doesn't come so automatic. So it needs to be an area that we have to focus on as parents. And there are three key words that I want you to try to remember this morning when it comes to teaching your children to love. And they summarize three areas that we're going to look at this morning as we consider how to teach our children to love. And those three key words are, and you don't have to write them down, you're going to eventually write them down, but these three key words are know, see, and learn. Know, see, and learn. Children need to know some things about love. They need to see love modeled, and they need to learn how to practice loving in everyday life. So let's begin by considering this first word, know. Know. This has to do with children and us needing to know some things about love in order to love in the right way. And what I want you to keep in mind, though, this morning is that knowing these things about love is a process. We and our children, in a sense, grow in our understanding of what real love is and how it's lived out. And so much of this, you're not going to teach to an infant or even to a one-year-old, okay? But as your children grow, these foundational truths, and some of you who have older children, you're going to see that some of these foundational truths will become very important in helping your kids love from a heart that is devoted to God rather than from a heart that is devoted to wanting to make themselves look good. And because God's love is so massive and multifaceted, we are really only able to scratch the surface here this morning. And so another thing I want you to know, that this isn't all there is to know about love. But I tried to pull out what I think is some foundational things. So let's begin with some of what children need to know. Children need to know the truth about love. Okay, love isn't puppies or pink hearts or Valentine's Day or a warm feeling inside or never having to say you're sorry or whatever else the world may say in all of the popular love songs. The truth is that God is love. God is love. In 1 John chapter 4, it tells us God is love. And that means that unlike us, love is a part of God's nature. In other words, while we have to learn and think about how to love, God just naturally knows how, because he is love. Agape is the word used in the Bible to express God's wonderful love for us, and it means a benevolent type of love, a love that's always focused on what is best for others. And we know that this is true about God because he did what was best for us. He made the greatest sacrifice that could have ever been made in order to help someone. He gave his son to die on the cross for our sins. And in 1 John 15:13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." And also, Because God is love, it means that he defines love, and he perfectly expresses love. So it only makes sense that we look to him and we look to his word in order to know how to love. Jesus, because he was God, is the ultimate example for us to follow on how to love. And then Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so ultimately, we want to point our children to the character of God. This is so important. And that he is love, that God is love, and to the example of Jesus that we have to follow. And we're going to see more of this, how this is played out as we go on here. Some other truths that we learn about love from the character of God and the example of Jesus that children need to know is that love is not always a feeling first. Now, we may have warm, fuzzy feelings towards the person that we show love to, but expressing agape love to someone does not depend on if we have warm, fuzzy feelings toward that person. And when we think about when Jesus went to the cross, okay, we always have to go back to how Jesus loved and to the character of God. And when Jesus went to the cross, he had been beaten, he had been ridiculed, hated, and abandoned by everyone, including his closest friends. And his act of love on the cross was not motivated by warm, fuzzy feelings toward mankind. In Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, we're told that he was motivated by the love that he had for the Father and the joy of accomplishing his Father's will, which was to die for sinners. That was his motivation. And in the same way, our love and our children's love must be motivated not by how we feel about the other person, but it's to be motivated by the love that we have for God and the joy of pleasing him by doing his will. Which leads to another important truth about love. God's kind of love is expressed even when others are unloving, unlovely, or unlovable. Romans 5, verses 7 and 8 says, "For one would scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." We see here, lady, and you have that verse on your handout, we see here that God's kind of love is entirely different than human love, okay? Because he died for us when we were at our most undesirable, okay? And that fact is intended to draw our hearts to place faith in him. This tells us that his love is not based on how lovable we are. Instead, his love is unwavering and constant. Okay, in other words, even when we are unloving, unlovely, and unlovable, like maybe this morning as you were trying to get things together and get here, God didn't stop loving you. So we don't want to tell our children that when you're good, God loves you, and when you're bad, he doesn't. That would not be true. What would be true is to tell them that God's love isn't fickle. His love doesn't change, okay, based on if we're good or we're bad. His love is steady, and it's constant. But you also want to tell them that that doesn't mean that I can just be bad because God loves me no matter what. What it means is that because he loves me so much, I should love him back, and I should try to love others who are unlovely. Then another truth is that love gives of itself, expecting nothing in return. Okay, when Jesus spoke of loving our enemies in Matthew chapter 5, he gave the example of how God the Father, he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust. In other words, his love extends to those who deny him and don't believe in him and want nothing to do with him and who never even ever thank him for anything. And that's how we should love. As a matter of fact, in that same passage, Jesus said that if we just love those who love us back, it's really no big deal. And this is a great obstacle when teaching children to love. They think showing love is all about getting something in return, okay? They don't want to show love if the other one isn't showing it back. They're not going to share some of their candy unless the other one is going to share back. And the truth about love, though, biblical love, is that it gives, expecting nothing in return. And then another truth is that love is an action. In other words, this is not something where you sit and you try to muster up a feeling. This is something that you think about and then something that you do for others, which is why children must be taught what real love is, because many times when they have to express love, or you would like to see them express love, especially to a sibling, they most likely won't feel like it. Remember, love is not always a feeling first. Sometimes they will, but a lot of times they're not going to feel like it. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8 is the most descriptive passage in the Bible on what love is. And it will be, moms, the most helpful passage in the Bible when it comes to teaching your children to love. And in order to help you, okay, each one of you has a bookmark in that little Bible study there with this passage on it, as well as a Bible study. That's a little Bible study to take home and work through. And I would suggest that you really try to memorize this passage so that you are able to say it easily, quickly, and even in your sleep. Or have it visible somewhere in your home. And you want to do that so that what you want to do is you want to train yourself to think this way and then to talk about love in your home this way. And then at the same time, you're going to be teaching your children this way. Let's look at this study for a minute. You have this beautiful bookmark to help you memorize it. We can thank Angela McDonough, our secretary, who made these beautiful bookmarks for us. But I want you to look at the table of contents. Of course, I love the title, Bible Study for Busy Mamas. Okay, and it's 30 days in 1 Corinthians 13. If you see the table of contents there, there's 30 studies intended, though, to only take you 5 minutes a day, okay, or more. You can spend more time if you can, but really the minimum is like 5 minutes a day, all on 1 Corinthians 13. And in this study, you're going to study the whole chapter, not just those verses 4 through 7. You're going to study all of chapter 13. And when you're done, if you have just spent 5 minutes, you'll have spent more than 2.5 hours over a 30-day time studying in detail this chapter on godly love. I'm telling you, this is the most important chapter for you to use and utilize when teaching your children to love. And every lesson also includes, it's designed especially for, there's an assignment especially for your children. And they're optional, and you can use them depending on the age of your children. But if you look on page three, which is day one, it's broken up into days, you'll see there that it says assignment. And that assignment, that's for you to do. And then if you turn the page to page four, you'll see for your children. That's an application of how you can take what you've learned and teach it to your children. Now, I know day one looks a little bit extensive there, but it's really not as bad as it looks. But look at day two, page seven. Look at the assignment. And see, it's reading actually just 1 Corinthians 13, and you're going to put some marks there. So there's the assignment. And then you see for your children. And if you turn to page eight, you see how short it is. So each day, that's the pattern, assignment, and then for your children. And this is something you're going to be utilizing for years to come. You know, it's not, because as your children grow, you're going to be able to apply different things. So, and as you study 1 Corinthians 13, you're going to see that love really doesn't have a whole lot to do with warm, fuzzy feelings. But it is primarily an action. It's something that, it's a way that we have to think, and it's something that we have to think about, and then something that we do. And that is how you're going to help your children to love. And children will, for the most part, express a selfish, self-centered kind of love. They're going to show love only when they feel like it, or only if they think they're going to get something in return, or only if it's going to make them look good in some way. We all remember the goody goodies and the teacher's pet, right, in school, and that's all what that's about. You know, just doing it so that I look good and I'm a favorite or whatever. It's all these selfish kind of motives for showing love. Expressing God's kind of love, God's kind of love, which we're going to look even further at here, will be hard for children. It's hard for us. I mean, I think we could all say we're challenged by going against our feelings and loving, even when we think about our husbands or a friend or somebody who's offended us in some way. So it's hard for us, too. But it's going to be hard for children, primarily because of my final point on knowing the truth about love, and that is, as our children get older, they will need to learn that in Galatians chapter 5, we're told that love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and that means that we can't love the way the Bible teaches without the Holy Spirit helping us to do this. Remember what I said earlier about how loving doesn't come naturally for our children or for us, okay? We have to remember God is love. He is the source of love. Therefore, we have to be connected to Him. We have to be connected to the source through faith in Christ, in order to love others in the right way and for the right reasons. And the Holy Spirit living within us gives us the desire to love this way and the ability to love this way. So, you know, we can teach our children all the right things to do and say, and we should, and I'm sure most of you are. We should be doing that. But moms, unless their hearts are transformed by faith in Christ and a renewal of the Holy Spirit and begin to be motivated by the love of Jesus, they'll just become a nice person and probably a pretty prideful one too. So moms, the goal of our lives and our children's lives is to bring glory to God. And we bring glory to God when He receives the recognition, you know, the glory for how and why we love. So we don't want to love in our own power or for our own selfish motives. That just ends up being a self-seeking, boastful kind of love. And 1 Corinthians 13 even says, love is not boastful. It's not arrogant and proud, you know. So as children grow and mature, they'll need to learn that they must draw on the help of an ever-present friend, the Holy Spirit, who will give them the desire to love in the right way and for the right reasons. So those are, I guess you could say, the basics of what our children and we need to know about love. Now, the second key word I told you you needed to remember is see. Children need to see love modeled. So they need to know truth about love, not the world's ways, okay? And those truths are so contrary. The more you start practicing them and teaching them to your children, you're going to see how different they are. But they're the truth. And children also need to see love modeled. As you teach children the truth about love and the actions of 1 Corinthians 13, you want them to see, as you're doing that, how God, and particularly Jesus, demonstrates love to us. But what I want to emphasize here is that children need to see love. They need to see God's love modeled by us. So in other words, everything we want them to do, we should model that for them. If we want them to show love by being patient with us or with another sibling, then we should be modeling patience with them and with their dad. If we want them to show love by using kind words, then we should be using kind words. We shouldn't be yelling and screaming and losing our tempers, yet expect them to be kind and under control. It's not going to happen. If we want them to learn to draw on help from the Lord in order to love others, then they need to see us praying and drawing help from the Lord to love others. If we want them to not be selfish, then we should not be selfish. I think you get the idea. This isn't do what I say, but not as I do parenting, okay? It's follow me as I follow Christ parenting. And we won't do it perfectly by any means, but we should be seeking to grow, to be growing in the actions of 1 Corinthians 13 and to become characterized by them. And God, he's going to use his word and people close to you, like your husband or a neighbor or your children, to teach you how to love this way. Well, let's look at our final key word, which is learn. Learn. So they need to know the truth about love. They need to see it modeled. And children need to learn how to love God's way. And I thought it would be helpful and practical to take a look at how this can be applied to a toddler, a preschooler, and a school-age child, because everybody has all that whole variety here. But before we look at those, let's stop and consider the infant season. Now, I just got done saying how God wants to use people like your children to teach you how to love, and it begins in the infant or baby season of a child's life, from birth to about 1 or 2 years old. It's during this season that we aren't so much teaching our babies to love, but they're teaching us a lot about love. If you're a mom with a child in the infant years, you are learning that to love is to sacrifice. The infant season is the beginning, okay, of submitting to the Lord's will for your life, and realizing that there are some things that you have to lay aside right now. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's freedom to pursue your own interests or your own dreams in order to care for the needs of your little one. You're also learning that love is giving of myself to another, but nothing is expected in return. Okay, babies don't say thank you for feeding me every 3 hours, even through the night. And you'll never hear your little one say, I'm sorry for turning your whole day upside down and even ruining your plans in order to take care of me. And I've never heard a baby say, I really appreciate you allowing me to ruin your dreams and consume your life. They don't even say, I love you back for a long time till they can start to talk. Some take a real long time before they'll say, I love you back. But moms, the care and the sacrifice that you show to that little one when it's done with a heart of devotion to God and submission to His will for your life, as well as a desire to do what's best for your little one. Remember, that's agape love, that wanting to do what's best for others. So you're wanting to do what's best for that little one. You are showing agape love to that baby. And then you're also learning that love is not a feeling first. There are a few moms who would say, I really feel like getting up during the night to feed this baby, you know, or deal with a sick little one. But doing that patiently and willingly, not in anger or resentment, is showing love to that baby. And sometimes it can be a challenge to love a baby or a young toddler who's constantly fussy or crying or who disrupts your schedule because they got sick. But I think it helps to think, and I know it would help when I would think this way, it helps to think denying myself and patiently and willingly loving my little one when I least feel like it is showing God's kind of love. So that's the infant season. And well, what are some ways that we can teach a toddler to love? A toddler, like a two or three-year-old. Now, this isn't set in stone, okay? Many of these things can begin earlier. Okay, they can begin when your child's one or whatever, like a 1.5-year-old or so, depending on the child. They all advance at different times. But what I wanted to show was approximately when you start to implement some of these things that are important for teaching children to love. And when our children reach these years, it becomes very evident. When they reach, you know, 1.5, 2, 3 years old, it's very evident that they have very little, if any, self-control or patience. Okay, what stands out is, I want things my way, I want what I want now, and I want to be first. Okay, so what they need to learn, and very much should be learning at this stage, is to obey their mother and father. Okay, this is the beginning of them learning that things are not going to be their way. Because, you know what 1 Corinthians 13 says? It says, love does not insist on its own way. So you don't let them have their own way, but you determine what's best and require them to obey you. And when they do, encourage them by saying something like this. Say, thank you for obeying me. That makes me happy. Or you can say, you showed love to me when you obeyed me. Love doesn't seek its own way. So you can actually use the verses, the words right from the scriptures to instill in them. And so you're talking this way at home, you're thinking this way, and you want them to think and talk this way as well. And then teach them to endure by putting on self-control. This is the beginning of them learning that I can't have what I want, or I can't do what I want right now. If they want it right now, they have no patience, they don't understand that waiting stuff. So the next time they start whining and crying because they want to eat, you can say, love is patient. Sit here and wait quietly while I go and prepare something for you to eat. So you're talking this way, telling them to be patient. And when they do show patience, and it will be hard, so you need to tell them, thank you for waiting. You showed love to me by being patient. And then begin to teach them the concept of sharing. Now, I remember when my children were this age, one was 2 and the other was 3, and very often, no matter what the situation was, whether it was pouring them some milk or putting their shoes on, one or the other would say, me first, Mommy, me first. And basically, their philosophy of life was, me first. I want to be first. I am the most important, and I want to be first in everything. So that's their philosophy. I remember when we had this old calculator that had the paper where you could punch the numbers, and it would print on the paper, one of those real old calculators. And they both wanted to play with it. They must have been about maybe 3 or 4 at the time. And I told them that they could play with it as long as they took turns and they played nice together. Well, the next thing I knew, I looked over, and they were on the kitchen table, and one of them was cupping their hands over the numbers so the other couldn't punch the numbers, and they were fighting over it. So I told them, I went over there, and I said, you're both sinning, you're both wrong, because you're not sharing, and you're not showing love. Instead, they were being rude to each other, and they were both insisting on having their own way. And so I told them that they couldn't play with it, and they were not even allowed to touch it. And so I went away, and they didn't touch it. And they sat there at the table, and, you know, you're looking from the other room, and they're just staring at it. And I went back to doing what I was doing, and then after a few minutes, they started talking amongst themselves, and then they called me over there, and they asked me if they could play again, if they played nicely, and I told them yes, and then they did. So at this age, they're learning, or they should be learning, the concept of sharing. And moms, it is not a God-given right for brothers and sisters to fight. Okay, it is sin. And it's an opportunity to teach them what real love is. Draw their attention to 1 Corinthians 13 and show them that love is patient and kind, and it's not rude, and it doesn't seek its own way. Well, what about a preschooler around 4 or 5 years old? And again, you know, this can even be some of this even into the toddler and so. But by this age, by 4 and 5 years old, by this age, first time obedience should pretty much be the norm. And what I mean by this is that not your preschooler, your 5-year old, 9 out of 10 times immediately obeys you by doing what you ask them to do. They don't, and this is what that means. They don't ignore you, they don't question you, and they don't argue with you. And do you know that one of the primary ways we show love to God is by obeying Him? Okay, look at the scriptures that are on your handout. What Jesus says in John 14. In verse 15, he says, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And then in verse 21, he says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And then in verse 24, he says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. So it's pretty clear that obedience to God is an indication of genuine love for him. And I don't think we would ever say that it's okay to ignore God's commands. I don't think we would ever say it's all right to question them or argue with God about what he wants us to do, or even obey his commands just when we feel like it. And you know, it works the same way with our children. God's word says for children to honor and obey their mother and father. So when we do that without arguing and questioning or ignoring us, in other words, they aren't being selfish and seeking their own way, they are showing love to God and to us. Gotta see that connection. It's very important. And you can tell them, when you obey mommy the first time I asked you to pick up your toys when you wanted to keep playing, you showed love. Because the Bible says love doesn't insist on its own way. So you're talking to them like this. You instruct them about obeying mommy the first time, and then when they do, you talk to them about and thanking them for obeying me the first time and how they showed love to you and to God. So when it comes to picking up the toys or come to the table for dinner or just come here, and they ignore you or they argue with you because they'd rather keep playing, you need to be dealing with that. You need to be dealing with that. And when we don't, we're basically training our children that it's okay to ignore us and ignore God, and that there's no consequences to being selfish and seeking your own way, and which we know that that's not true. They will suffer consequences. And in the years ahead. And then another thing we can do with the preschooler is begin teaching them about the love of Jesus. This is the time you begin to focus more on explaining some of the truths they need to know about love that we looked at in the beginning in order to draw their little hearts toward loving God. And as I thought about how to explain this point and about teaching them more about the love of Jesus and why it's so important, I think the best way to explain this is to tell you that when I was a young child and my mother would instruct me to do something and I would ask why, and she would simply tell me, because I told you to. And then as I got a little older, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and she would tell me to obey, and I would ask why. And she would tell me, because I love you and know what's best for you. So I would obey. And then as I continued to get older, I would see and I would start to understand more the sacrifices that my mom would make. And I began to understand more and more how much she really did love me. And then when she would ask me to obey her in some way, my heart was softer toward a desire to obey her, because my motivation to obey her grew from learning how much she really loved and sacrificed for me. And it works the same way, moms, in a child's relationship with God. When they're young, when they're 1, 2, years old is simply obey. Okay, you don't give them this big talk about, oh, Jesus did this for you, and you not know. And 1 or 2 years old, it's simply obey. Then as they get a little older, it becomes more obey, because God loves you and knows what's best for you. It's not a whole lot of the explanation, but there's some there. Then as they continue to get older, it needs to become them saying within themselves, I want to obey because he loves me. The problem is that we stay with obey because God said so. And we never move any farther than that. And we kind of like put them on guilt trips, you know, about not obeying God and all this, you know. What we want to do is help them move to desiring to love and obey, because they've come to realize that God loves me so much and I want to love him back. This happens as we teach them more and more about the love of Jesus and about how we need his help to love this way. And the Bible study that you're going home with today will help you with many practical ways of how to do that. And also, another great book to read and to begin implementing at this time, as they get older in your child's life, is the book that Bobette is having all of the Sunday school teachers here read this year, Show Them Jesus. And if you're a Sunday school teacher, you were blessed to get this book for free. And I would greatly encourage you to read it. If you don't have it, we have two that are left that are in our resource center. An excellent book in helping you to really show them the love of Jesus. And then during these years, it's a good time to work on manners, along with some positive virtues of the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us love does not behave rudely. In other words, we are not to be unnecessarily offensive to others. And children, though, what have a tendency to not only do what they want, but also say whatever they want. And they often don't realize when they're offensive. So in these years, we want to focus on things like kindness, teaching them to speak in a kind tone of voice or do a kind act for someone. Being kind is saying please when you ask for something and saying thank you when someone gives you something. And to not do so would be rude. And you know, as I thought about these, I'm amazed at how these, learning these things, this is almost kind of like lost today. I don't even think it was bad when I was raising my children, but moms and dads don't really know what to teach their kids. Or should I force them to say please and thank you, or what should I not, you know? So this is kind of lost today. So I'm encouraging you that I think learning these things is a part of teaching our children to love and not to behave rudely. Now, gentleness is another Christian, a positive virtue. Work on them not being rough and a bully, but to be sensitive to others' ideas and opinions and to those who are hurting or who are different. Joyful, this involves being happy, even when things don't go their way. Okay, someone else got to be first or got the award or got special recognition for something, and it would be rude for us to pout and be jealous instead of being happy for them. And then considerate. This would be listening quietly and paying attention when someone is talking. I mean, who makes their kids do that anymore, huh? We should be. It also involves looking at someone when they talk to you and answer back when it's appropriate. And with some kids, you can't keep them from talking to others. And then there are those who won't say anything when someone talks to them. And you know, here you need to discern, you need to be careful about how to discern between shyness and rudeness. I remember taking my daughter to the bank with me when she was just a toddler, and the bank teller would always say hi to her, and Anna wouldn't say a thing. She would just ignore that teller, and this would happen every time we would go to the bank. And I tell Anna to say hi. I tell her before we leave, now the bank teller's going to say hi, you say hi. And she wouldn't. And I remember thinking, well, I guess she's just shy. You know, she just doesn't like talking to people as much as her brother does, who would say hi to everyone, you know, and have a conversation with them. And then someone challenged me to consider that although Anna was less talkative toward people, that her not saying hi or responding to someone when they simply asked her a question or said hi to her was being rude. And I thought, you know, they're right. A shy person can still respond with a short, simple answer, hi. And to not do so is being rude. And that's what Anna needed to be told. And there were times that it even became a discipline issue. So then there's compassion. This has to do with teaching them to be sympathetic to the feelings of others. You might say to them something like, how might so-and-so feel if you say that to them? Or maybe they did say something and you say, boy, how do you think that made so-and-so feel when you said that to them? You know, you're teaching them compassion, getting them to think. Or how do you think Jenny felt when you didn't share your snack with her? Or, gosh, I feel so bad for your friend Joey because he broke his arm, you know, or he has the flu, or he's sick. You know, why don't we send him a card? That's teaching them compassion. And then endurance. Our 1 Corinthians passage says love endures all things. And, you know, for them just getting through the day and not having everything go their way is an endurance test. But it's preparing them for bigger trials and testings later on in their lives. And one of the main ways that they learn endurance is by us not letting them have their own way all day long, and by us not permitting them to constantly fight and argue with those who provoke them, like a sibling or a friend. Love is not provoked, it says. It's not easily angered, but it endures all things. So when your child is provoked and angered by someone, you need to help them respond back in a normal, kind tone of voice. This is showing love when the feelings aren't there. Remember, we talked about love's not always a feeling first. And the other person, you know, loving when the other person is very unlovable. And this study, again, that you're going home with today will give you many more ideas and examples on what you can do to help your kids live 1 Corinthians 13. Now, before we're going to look at the school age, I want you to think about how much your little preschooler can learn before they even go to school. Do you see how the foundation, for the most part, is set? And then you just keep building on that foundation. And what I want you to know is that the last thing that you're doing is wasting your time with your little ones. These are the years where you have this little short window of time to lay a foundation that you can keep building on. So, well, the school age, and again, this can start even, you know, 4 or 5, depending. but expose them more and more to what the Bible teaches about God's love and loving other people. Okay, and this is having them in Sunday school where they can hear teachings and lessons from the Bible. Actually, this Sunday here at our church here begins a new verse that the kids will be learning in Sunday school as part of our church memory program. And believe it or not, it's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7, the whole passage on love. So cool how it falls right around Valentine's Day and right now at this time. But the preschoolers even are learning. I believe it's just verse 7, but for 2 weeks, the kids are going to be learning 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Have them memorize 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, and be able to explain what each of the actions of love mean. In the study you're going home with, they have you do exercises with your kids where you have them look up one of the actions of love, like patience, and they look it up in a dictionary. And then you talk about the Bible definition and about what patience looks like in their everyday lives. And then they have you role play, like a real life situation, to help them really grasp the idea of being patient when someone is mistreating you. And, you know, kids love role plays. And when you approach it like this, your kids not only know the actions of 1 Corinthians 13, but they'll be able to explain to you what they mean and how it's lived out in their everyday life, so which is important by this age. Then be faithful to remind them that God is the one who gives us the ability to love the way he has commanded us to. Okay, this goes back to where we began and how as your children grow and learn about loving God's way, they will be challenged. It will be hard at times, and that's why they need the help of an ever-present friend, the Holy Spirit, in them. And there will be lots of opportunities now as they're getting older to talk about faith in Jesus Christ and why we need to surrender our lives to him. And then be faithful to remind them that devotion to God is the only acceptable motive for actions that are pleasing to God. So what we want to see, does my child desire to love out of a heart that does it because they love God and want to glorify him, or do they do it, and you can determine this, or do they do it from a self-centered heart that wants to make themselves look good, or so people really think they're something else, or they want to be a goody-goody or the teacher's pet? But the scary part is that self-centered motives for loving are not acceptable to God. God-centered motives are, and they come from a heart that loves because God first loved them, and they want to love him back by doing his will. So I hope that this teaching today helps to give you a good start at helping your children to love in a way that glorifies God. So let's pray and then you're gonna go into your a time of discussion, and then we're gonna make some candy. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so challenged when we look at the way that you have loved us so sacrificially, so consistently, so perfectly. And Lord, we realize that as mothers that we need your help so that we can love this way. And we also need your help in order to teach our children to love this way. So Lord, I pray for each mom here today, and I ask that you would give each one a renewed desire to love their children in the ways of 1 Corinthians 13, and give them wisdom as they help their little ones to love this way. And I pray that you would use what we've looked at today and that you would use the Bible study that they'll be taking home to help them know better how to love and how to teach their children to love. Give them wisdom and give them grace to persevere in this high calling that you've called them to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.